The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Admittedly, this one is a bit of a cheat, and only include because Max von Sydow is arguably the most famous person to ever grace the dragon halls of Game of Thrones, even though his three-eyed raven probably gets less than 10 minutes of screen time in total. Those 10 minutes, however, are some of the most important and intense in the show's history. Or at least were until the current season went, whatever, and turned it into nothing more than set dressing. Nor was Sydow the first choice to portray the character, who appeared in Season 4, the final season shot with any footing in the books, looking much closer to his on-page counterpart. However, you don't just slap a bunch of old man makeup on someone like Max von Sydow and toss him into a tree, and absolutely nothing on screen says gravitas like Sydow in black, which makes it forgivable if you assumed Max played the most famous character from 1957's The Seventh Seal, director Ingmar Bergman's wonderfully simplified and endlessly copied Grim Reaper, played by Bengt Ekeroth. Instead, Sydow plays Block, a crusader knight who challenges death to a game of chess, with his life as the prize, a meta-narrative that plays over the film's other narratives about death, faith, and even more death. There's a reason this film is a certified classic of the art form. Though shot in Swedish, you could watch it on mute and understand more than just the broad strokes of story and character. And Sydow's performance of a world-weary but not yet ready to die knight, simply and somewhat ironically immortal, represents the struggle for life itself, with good humor and playfulness right up to the end. Okay, I'll admit, we did Peter Dinklage wrong by using his spot a few episodes ago to gush about the MCU. He is an incredible, fantastic actor, and he deserves more than just a quick few scenes in space, or even the dubious honor of being shot by Jennifer Lawrence in what, to be fair, is at least the best X-Men film ever produced. But to do him right, we're pulling out the big guns. Both of them. 2007's Death at a Funeral was a quirky little dark comedy directed by Frank Oz, focusing on the foibles of grieving, loss, and accidentally ingesting party drugs at your in-laws, all wrapped in the expectations of British society, soundly rebounding any attempts at proper decorum with a circus of ever-increasing rings. 2010's Death at a Funeral is the same film, adapted for American audiences by shifting from a middle-class English setting to a middle-class African-American family, with practically no changes whatsoever, except in how certain dialogue is adapted from one colloquialism to another. Both are fantastic, and a testament to the original screenplay for being so potentially universally adaptable. Though the British version did better as British audiences still throw down money for foible-driven small comedies, while the American version was mostly just a vehicle for Chris Rock and Martin Lawrence to play off each other. Unchanged, however, despite whichever version you're watching, is Peter Dinklage, who was so perfect as the surprise paramour of the deceased in the first film that he and his performance were imported intact. It's one thing to be recognized for a well-played role long after, but something entirely different to find yourself included in any reinterpretation, simply because your performance was so good that it would be impossible to replace or build on in the hands of another. Peter Dinklage is one of those few special actors. Simply irreplaceable. 1993's The Last Action Hero is everything that was right and good about film in the late 20th century. Underappreciated by critics for years as entirely too over the top, this meta-commentary on the cliches and tropes of the genre, the hyper-masking effects of the Reagan era on action film, the combination of countless characters from across various self-contained film universes crossing over in The Crush, and the power of the perspective of the audience made this film the darling of an audience who, when it was released in the early 90s, did not yet have a voice in critical circles, resulting mostly in pannings of a movie by critics who simply didn't understand it. It's a film that includes an entire beautifully shot, dressed and conceived of segment where star Arnold Schwarzenegger, playing himself, wanders Shakespearean Denmark, murdering half the cast of Hamlet with an Uzi. This segment spawned the most ridiculous figure of all time, complete with spring-loaded York skull-launching action. It is ridiculous, piled on ridiculous, multiplied infinitely by the power of ridiculous. And I love it. Even then I loved it, because I was 8 when this movie came out. And it was the promise and fulfillment of everything cartoons and pop culture had told me about the King of Hollywood, Schwarzenegger, and his on-screen personas. This movie is an episode of Tiny Toons, and I loved it. But it could have only been so good without an equally fantastic villain to balance all the wackiness out. Enter Charles Dance in what should have been his Hans Gruber moment, stealing focus from the wide array of attention-seeking action movie cliches with a villain as charming as he is brutal. His character, Mr. Benedict, is himself a walking collection of tropes for the late 80s and early 90s big-screen villains. Tropes he, as a well-written character, learns to overcome to do more real-life evil once he finds himself teleported from screen to the streets of L.A., performed brilliantly by the stoic yet dangerous Dance, who is the kind of actor who can make a smile seem more menacing with little to no effort. I could watch him recite just about anything. In fact, here's Charles giving a reading of the autobiography of Spice Girl Mel B.
Chapter 9, We're Jamming. Jerry and I started spending most of our weekends at the house together. Vicky and Emma went home and Melanie went to mad parties in Sitka. Sometimes Jerry and I went to bed on Saturday afternoon, woke up at around 2 a.m., got dressed, and went to the all-nighter at Ministry of Sound. We used to drive down the motorway with our boobs out for a laugh. It was hysterical, until we noticed a weird guy driving alongside us with a manic grin on his face. Oh, my God, Jerry, he looks like he's wanking. And suddenly, we were scared. It was really frightening. For all we knew, he was a complete nutter with an axe. Jerry swerved into another lane, and eventually we lost him. We were really shaken. Did it stop us flashing our boobs? No.
Charles Dance reads embarrassing autobiographies by celebrities. Would sell, like, gold-plated Endgame tickets if I had my What the hell, Death? Not content with first spot in our list, or dutiful mention in the second? You had to enthrall Ian McKellen to wrap himself in a big blackout curtain and sit in an empty movie theater? Keep this up, and I'll send you back to William Sadler.
You might be a king or a little street sweeper, but sooner or later you dance with the Reaper.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You hear that? That's the sound of Pepsi Zero Sugar, the better tasting, more refreshing Zero Sugar Cola. Listen to that endless pour. Pure refreshment. If it sounds this good, just imagine how it tastes. Oh yeah, so good. Pepsi Zero Sugar. Let your taste decide.